right, in the book of Daniel this morning, if you would, please. Daniel and chapter number 4. Daniel and chapter number 4, and we're going to read verse 33 this morning down through verses 37. Daniel chapter number 4, and we're trying to preach some in these days on Daniel in application. Not necessarily dealing with all of the prophetic ramifications of the book, but dealing with it in application to our lives. Trying to pick out some things that I feel would be a blessing and a help to us here at Island Ford Baptist Church. Verse number 33, the Bible said, "The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" Now, I'm not preaching on that verse this morning, but I'm going to tell you that is a verse of Scripture that about 99.99% of Baptists need to get a hold of, and especially preachers. That God, now you just look at that again, God does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. There's none that will stay His hand, and who has got the power to look at God in the face and say, "What are you doing, what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing?" I'm sure the Lord would say, if you would read the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, you would know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it for my own good pleasure. That's what he says. We were created for his pleasure. And the clay is not about to say to the potter, "What are you doing this for?" He makes vessels according to his will, and he does in this earth according to the will of God. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, "Does that make us a robot?" No, we've got our responsibility to God, and we've got the ability to make choice. But I'm going to tell you, God's got the ability to make choice after we make a choice. And God won't stop you from doing what you want to do, but I guarantee you, you're not going to stop God from doing what God wants to do either. You just mark that down. Amen. "At the same time," in verse 36, "my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to obey." I want to read one more verse to you, if I can find it. In verse chapter number 5 and verse 20, Daniel has also interpreted the handwriting on the wall for Belshazzar. And he said, and he's speaking about Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, "But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." His mind was hardened with pride. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, knowing, Lord, that it hath appeared unto all men. I want to thank you for the goodness of God that lifts us from the depths of sin. Thank you for the precious, precious blood that was shed for our redemption. I thank you for the book of Daniel and, Lord, the great truths that's revealed there unto your people. I pray you'd bless us in the Word of God today. And God, you'd help us to understand. And Lord, help us to yield ourselves and be obedient to the will of God. I pray you'll save sinners, deliver souls from the depths of hell. I pray, oh God, you'd bless and help your people and prepare us, I pray, for Tuesday night and for the meeting. And help us to be a blessing to those that come. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me out of this chapter. And drawing a thought from verse number 37. Well, the Bible said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven." When do you do that, Nebuchadnezzar? Now. Not before, but now. I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. If God will help me this morning, and he's going to have to, if God will help me this morning, I want to preach for a little while on the thought from pride to praise. From pride to praise. May I say by way of introduction that pride will keep a number of people out of heaven. I believe that the sin of pride is one of the most devastating sins in all the Bible. The wise man said that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we find a man in Nebuchadnezzar that had it not been for the good grace of God, that his stubborn and rebellious pride would have kept him out of heaven. But he had to learn the hard way that God's way is the best way. You know, I think there's still a number of people that think their way is better than God's way. But I'm going to tell you, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But Jesus said that his way was a straight and a narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm confident today that many are on that broad way that leads unto destruction, and many there be, the Bible said, that go in thereat. I'm glad there is a way. Jesus said, "I am the way." And by the way, he is the way. And there will no man ever come unto the Father but by him. But I'm telling you, there's been a lot of pride of spirits and arrogant hearts that has kept men from humbling themselves and bowing at the feet of the Lord Jesus that they might be saved by the good grace of God. Oh yes, I'm telling you, a proud heart will never let a knee bend and call upon the name of the Lord. But, my friend, there is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God help us this morning. I find a monarch, a royal monarch, a ruler of Babylon that let pride hinder him from being saved years before he finally got born again. And I see where pride, my friend, where God had to use a force to humble that man that he might be saved by the grace of God. Oh, he went from a proud heart to praising God. He said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor," he said, "the King of heaven." I'm going to tell you, that's what God wants us to do today. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm telling you, God wants us as saved people to praise and extol and honor the great God of heaven. I think I found out this morning why some of us ain't praising God. I was sitting in my office holding little old Joseph on my lap. And I said, "You want to preach this morning or testify a little while?" And he just sat there and looked at me. I said, "Do you want to sing a hymn and pray and worship God today?" He just sat there and looked at me. Never uttered a word. Matter of fact, he couldn't utter a word. He had a foo-foo in his mouth.
Hey!
Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. If some of you would get the foo-foos out of your mouth, you might be able to do like Nebuchadnezzar. If you had ditched some of your pride, you too might be able to praise and extol and magnify the great God of heaven. Get that baby bottle out of your mouth, that pendulum spoon out of your mouth, and learn to walk with God through the bad times, good times, sad times, hard times, and worship God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now I want to mention some things by way of introduction. Try to tell you a little bit about the chapter. We have in this chapter the second dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And it's followed by his strange and unusual conversion. I'm telling you, you talk about people being saved in an unusual manner. I thought it was unusual how Zacchaeus got saved up in the top of a sycamore tree. Until I read about Nebuchadnezzar. I thought it was unusual about that little old woman with an issue of blood, how she pressed through the crowd of people to get to the Lord Jesus and just touch the hem of his garment that she might be saved, until I heard about Nebuchadnezzar. But here is a man that God had to humble down, had to send him out into the field like a beast of the field, eating grass like an ox, and had his feathers like an eagle, my friend, for 7 long years until that man's heart was humbled enough to come to the Lord Jesus. I want to say this to you this morning. God knows how to get your attention. Son, we may bow up, swell up, and puff up, but I'm telling you, God knows how to get a hold of you whenever He wants to. Amen to God. What an unusual conversion. Here is a man who for 7 years possessed the heart of a beast. Can you get a hold of that? Had no understanding whatsoever. Possessed the heart of a beast. Ate grass like an ox, and his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle. This was all done because of his stubborn and his rebellious pride in refusing to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. I'm going to tell you what one man said. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in due time. Now, I'm telling you, friend, it's a whole lot easier when you and I will learn to eat humble pie and humble ourselves rather than letting God have it His way. I'm going to tell you, when God humbles us, it's not a pleasant experience. That's right. We better learn that all humanity is reputed in the sight of God. Who are we to shake our fist in the nostrils of God and tell God what He's going to do and what He ain't going to do? God have mercy on us. I'm telling you, His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are well above our thoughts, and His way is always the best way, and I guarantee you, it'd do us good, friend, if we learn to get in the way of God and walk with God, whatever the problem for us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read some scriptures in this chapter. I put them here, so I'm going to read them. Verses, starting in verse 10. Thus, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof. And all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. You hear me quite well, friend? It is a wonderful and a glorious thing when the Holy One comes down from heaven and speaks to the heart of a man or works in a man's life in such a way to bring him to a saving knowledge of Christ. I'm telling you, the thought that come to my heart is that God will go to great lengths to save an old sinner. We've got the idea today that all there is at the conviction is God passing by in a service and telling somebody they're lost. But I'm telling you, God will work in marvelous ways and go to great lengths, my friend, just to save one old sinner out of the depths of hell. You better look back over your life and see how unusual your life was put together and how God worked to bring you to a knowledge of Himself. I'm satisfied that God's work on me started a long, long time before September the 13th, 1970. Oh, how wonderful, how blessed that the great God of glory that created everything that is would humble Himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And if the great God of glory will humble Himself, how much more should you and I humble ourselves under His mighty hand? He'll go to great lengths to save a sinner. I heard old Billy Kelly one time, and I said this here. He said that God would put the angels in heaven on half rations just to see one old sinner saved by the grace of God. I couldn't get a hold of that for a long time, you know. But I'm going to tell you, he just simply said, God will go to great lengths. It is beyond the comprehending of man what God will do and how God will work things out according to His divine and holy providence just to save one old sinner from the boogeyman's bad place. I want to praise Him. I can understand it. Well, Nebuchadnezzar said, I want to praise Him. I want to extol Him. I want to honor Him. I was proud, but He obeyed me. And then He exalted me that I might praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. God knows how to bring the high low. And He knows how to take the low up high. Praise God. He knows how to humble one and exalt another for His glory. Amen. Woo! I'm about to get happy in spite of all of you. Praise the Lamb of God. Only eternity will tell what God has done and worked in your life to save you by His marvelous grace. I want to say this, and I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't want to offend your heart. But I say this again. I said it the other day. I want to say it again. I don't think it was a coincidence that Cater's mama died when she did. And I don't think it was a coincidence that little Hannah was born and died when she did. Had it not been for those two deaths, I'd have never met old Brother Shelby and Miss Louise. And look here, I'm telling you, friend, had it not been for that, and somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, now, God wouldn't do that. What do you mean God wouldn't do that? He just reached down to some old saved lady's life that was feeble and sick and needed to go home anyway and carried her on up to glory and then put His hand in a little flower, my friend, that was secure in the everlasting arms of God and carried her on to glory and then worked in some old boy's heart and life that He might bring him to a Baptist church where they could hear the gospel and be saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, God will go to unusual lengths, my friend, to save one old sinner. By the grace of God, have mercy on us. Amen. I better hurry along, Brother Cleek. Get the jelly jars jumping. Amen. Let me read the rest of this. And he cried aloud and said, thus hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Said, this matter is by the decree of the watchers. Woo! God said, that's what I'm going to do. And it was done. I'm telling you, God has set an everlasting decree. And brother, there's not a human power in this world that can break the decree that God makes. Watcher said, just let her be so. And the demand by the word of the holy ones. Woo! Hallelujah to God. God said it and that settles it. Amen. To the intent that the living may know. Get this now. That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will and setteth up over it the basis of men. That is right. That's why this dream came about. Now stay with me now and I get the message in a minute. Its primary interpretation of this, the king's dream, is a prediction or predicted. It predicted the fall of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. But prophetically, it speaks of the ecumenical outreach of Babylonianism and the Gentile powers in the last days and its final overthrow. Hey man, I won't say again that God's kingdom, O Nebuchadnezzar, learned that God's kingdom, son, the King of Heaven's kingdom, is from generation unto generation. Amen. What he's saying is, one man ain't going to rule here forever, but there's a God in heaven that's got a kingdom already established, and it will rule from one generation until another generation, until God wraps up this mess. Amen. And he's going to. He's going to. I throwed something in the middle here, and I don't know why I did it. It don't quite fit in. But I'm going to give it to you. The main purpose of the writing of Daniel is to present the times of the Gentiles, tracing the course of human government from the days of the kingdom of Babylon, which was the first, to our Lord's second coming. And hey, he was in that field till seven times passed over him. Those seven times are 7 years. Stay with me and don't leave me. The 7 years of Nebuchadnezzar's experience reflect, in typology at least, another 7 year period yet in the future. It is that 70th week of Daniel's prophecy spoken of in chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It speaks of the tribulation period when the Antichrist, the last Gentile world power, will control all the nations of the earth. And this is that period of time between the rapture of the church and the Lord's second coming. The ecumenical Babylon of the last days under the Antichrist will control the buying and the selling and will control all religious activity. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how's he going to control our religious activity? He won't have the chance on us. Hallelujah to God. I plan on being in heaven. You're looking at a pre-tribber, son. I'm not going through one day of it, much less 3.5 years of it. I'm waiting for the trumpet to sound, and you and I are going to lift off. And then that type of Nebuchadnezzar will set up his 70th week and rule and reign upon this earth. Hallelujah. Amen to God. But I'm going to tell you, that's not what I'm preaching on today. Some of you probably need it. Might scare the devil out of some of you. I'm okay. When that 70th week starts, the times of the Gentiles are going to be zilch. Somebody said, I'll get saved during the tribulation period. No, sir, buddy, you believe a lie, be damned, and go to hell without God. And you can tell that fella used to be on the station, I said that. If you don't get saved before now and then. I'm telling you, this old junk, it's got to give a man another chance in the tribulation period. Them Jews, they're going to be 144,000 them Jews saved. But I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of Gentiles in America that's heard the gospel. No, sir. They're going to believe a lie during that time and be damned. Now, I want to preach today on the conversion of this man. It took one of the most solemn and sovereign judgments God has ever pronounced to bring this man from a lofty height of pride to the humble place of praise. Oh, what a sovereign thought. Hey, think about that a while. Here is a man that was a great king, ruled all the nations of the earth, the known earth in his day. And yet God, my friend, touched that man and put a heart like a beast in him, and caused his hair to grow like the eagles of a feather, and let him stay out in the field and eat grass for 7 long years. Somebody said, Preacher, I don't believe God will do that. I'm here to tell you that I'm confident of this very thing, that some of you sitting in here this morning are so swelled up with pride that God may not go that route. But I'm telling you, friend, that God knows how to humble you and get your attention this morning. That's right. Amen to God. I want you to notice he didn't put his hand on somebody around Nebuchadnezzar. Put his hand on him. Real judgment. Put his hand on him and brought him down. His mind had no understanding. Come on in the house. We ain't playing games this morning. His mind was without real understanding. He had the mind of a beast, my friend. He felt like a beast. He acted like an animal. He lived like an animal. And because God allowed him to have an animal's heart. Tell you, God put, and hey, look here. This is probably 20-some years after chapter 1 in Daniel. And I'm going to prove to you in a minute, God been dealing with this man all that time. Amen to God. From pride to praise, how did he get there? I won't say it started out with the witness of a man. Son, it would behoove you and I, come on in here now and help me this morning. Amen. It would behoove you and I to learn to be a faithful and a blessed witness for God. I'm here to tell you that that man, the work of grace, started on that man because of the witness that was given unto him by mankind. Somebody said, what witness? Well, I think it started in chapter 1 with the determination of old Daniel. Old Daniel said, but I purposed in my heart, that I would not defile myself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with his wine which he drank. That purpose, I'm telling you, old Nebuchadnezzar was alive, well, and able when he saw that Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled. Somebody said, preacher, when's folks going to turn from their pride unto praising God? Son, when they see that there is something in the heart of God's people. I'm telling you, that was a heart experience that Daniel had. It wasn't a play thing, friend. He wasn't a play in church like most Baptists are today. It was from the heart. He said, I'm going to purpose in my heart that I will not defile myself, and I want to do it to establish a witness among men. God help these preachers today and church members too. Now, I don't really care whether you like it or lump it. Don't matter to me. And I'm telling you, God have mercy on these preachers. They get on the radio and talk about how much television they watch. Amen. Easter egg hunt. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Talk about their little daughters dancing on the platforms down at Pigeon Forge. Come on in the house. I won't charge you a thing for that. I'm telling you, they have not purposed in their heart. There's no purpose there to be undefiled. And hey, come on, what about us Baptists? They want to sit down and watch our DVDs and watch our television. Oh, that's come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm telling you, we have not purposed in our heart that we would not sin against our God by defiling ourselves. Somebody said, oh, preacher, that's not defilement. I've got news for you. Lot vexed himself every day hearing and seeing the things that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. I'm trying to preach to you now. The witness of man. And then I think the second witness was the dream that Daniel interpreted in chapter number 2. He said the king answered in chapter 2:47. Said the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets. Seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. I'm going to tell you what that king said. That old king looked at Daniel when he revealed that dream to him and said, that man has got something that I ain't got. He's got a connection with someone in another world that I don't know. My God Baal cannot do what his God Jehovah has done. His God Jehovah can reveal what is going to happen before it ever happens and bring it to pass by His power. And son, He did and He will. You mark her down. God's going to have His will in that mess over in Iraq and in Israel. And in Palestine. I'll be honest with you. It really don't matter what Hussein and all that crowd does. For God will have His way in the affairs of men. Better believe that's right. Somebody said, how can he? Because men like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel, years ago, God said, write this down, and we're going to keep it a secret from that infidel crowd, that unbelievers. And from all that Arab ragheads over there that want to worship Allah, we're going to keep it a secret from them too what I'm fixing to do in the last days. Pin her down. And God pinned her down, and God's going to bring it to pass. But there was a dream, buddy, that Daniel interpreted, and Nebuchadnezzar had nothing to say except somebody had to tell him that he knows, and that knowing is God of glory that revealed it to him. Amen. I'll never forget several years ago. I stand on that platform in one of our jubilees. And just out of the clear blue sky, I said, I felt it in my soul. I said, I feel like it was on the last night after the last preacher preached. And I said, I feel in my soul like there's a child molester in this room tonight. And Brother Billy Ball sitting over there, and he stood up and said, Preacher, I got the same nudge in my heart. And I want to tell you something, friend. There's some in here that turned white as a sheet and swallowed their Adam's apple when I said that. Amen to God. Now, I'm sure somebody said, how did that man know that? I'm going to tell you, that man knows that. There is a God, friend. There is a God that wants to give a witness to fallen man, ungodly men. And sometimes He'll use a man to reveal a truth in his life. That nobody but him and y'all, nobody but that man and God knows anything about. How many times y'all went home and said, boy, I said, the preacher sure preached on me this morning. Preacher sure got me. Wasn't a preacher that got you. It was that one that searches the hearts and tries the reins. God was using that as a witness to try to get a hold of your heart, to prove to you that there is a God in heaven, and beside Him there is no God. That's right, it's not Allah, bless your heart. It is not Buddha, bless your heart. It's the great Jehovah of the Old Testament and the Lord Jesus of the New Testament who came to die for our sins, yeah, and rose again on the third day. Hallelujah. What about the witness He gave to you? I wonder who witnessed to you. Maybe you've seen the life of some preacher or the life of a friend, the life of some Christian that lived around you. You know what old Brother Joe High told me yesterday? And he said, Preacher, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, when you was in school, can you remember anybody witnessing to you or giving you a gospel tract? I said, not one time. Not one time, friend, in my school days, from elementary right on through high school, did anybody ever say anything to me about Jesus? Not one time did I ever see anybody in that school that I thought knew Him. Not one time did anybody hand me a gospel tract. That's right, not a soul. And he said that because he has been doing some substitute teaching in the schools up yonder in Salisbury, North Carolina. I'm going to tell you, you think we got it rough around here? And if there's any black people listening, I'm not saying this against black people. I'm just telling you what was said, all right? Brother Hite said he was over in a school that had a special ed class and said the teacher was a black man. And they had 18 black boys and black girls in that class. And said the teacher said something. One of them black boys stood up and said, shut up, you ain't nothing but a nigger. Said the teacher said, you sit down and shut up because all you are is a nigger. And old Brother Hyde got up and read a little scripture and began to talk about God. Woo! Hallelujah, God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, son, that there's people out there that need to hear a witness. Somebody needs to be determined, and somebody that needs to know God needs to reveal Him with their life and with their lips and with their love. We need to reveal Him, that sinners might be brought from a proud and an arrogant heart to learn to praise and extol and honor the great God of heaven. Somebody ought to stand up right now and say, amen, Brother Hall. Hallelujah. I want to say thirdly, I believe he saw another witness, not only in the determination of Daniel and the dream that was interpreted, but the deliverance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What a witness. Can you imagine throwing three little boys bound in a furnace of fire? Amen. I wish y'all would help me this morning a little bit. Amen to God. How many times has the world, has lost men, bowed up in pride, watched how the God of glory brought you while you were bound and loosed you and brought you out of a fiery furnace? Yes, walked through the fire with you and brought you out of it, my friend. on the other side. You imagine how they thought? Here's what old Nebuchadnezzar, here's what it says. Nebuchadnezzar the king was a, whatever that big word is, a stone-eyed or whatever it is, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of that fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Yes, right, we did. We put three of them in there bound. They fell down. I've seen them. He answered and said, lo, lo, I see four men loose and unharmed. And he said in the fourth, I wonder how he can distinguish the three from the one. But he said that fourth one over there, there's something about him that them other three ain't got. He looks like the Son of God. You talking about a witness, and yet, my friend, God is showing him his delivering power and Daniel's determination and Daniel's interpretation. Yet. Look what I've done in my kingdom. Look at me and who I am. I'm Nebuchadnezzar. I rule all this, and by my own power. Be careful. Be careful. There was his witness. I want to say, secondly, there was his warning. Oh, God gave that man such a warning. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God will always warn people before judgment falls. I'm going to show you something in a minute. Just hang loose. I'm going to bring some of this together. There was a real warning in chapter 4. Now, I'm just going to read verse 23 for the sake of time. He said, whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. Everybody look right up here. God said, cut it down! Don't leave me now. 22 years. 22 years God had dealt with that man in his past at arrogancy. And he bowed his neck and said no, and I believe God just moved in. And he said, no. And God said, it's enough. Cut it down. I'm tired of fooling with him. Cut it down. I've had all I'm going to tolerate. Are you listening to me this morning? What a warning. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but even after the warning that God gave him, it was 1 year, my friend, one full year before the judgment came.
Amen.
Tell me God ain't long suffering. I wonder what God's going to have to do to get some of you folks' attention. Huh? Cut it down. Cut it down. But he said, I'm still going to show mercy. Leave the root. Cut it off. Cut. Oh, what God just showed me. Cut off the pride and leave the praise in the ground. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Cut her down, son, but leave a root there. And don't just leave a root. Bind that root with iron and with brass. I mean, put a band around it where it can't get away. I've still got something I want to do in that old boy's life. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad when God done that to you? Huh? We walked all those years all bowed up and puffed up in our pride. And God said, he's went long enough. I tell you what I want you to do. Cut her down. Cut him down. All right, Lord, I'm going to go down there with a... I'm going down there, Lord. I'm one of the holy watchers, and I'm going down there with this big bulldozer, and I'm going to bring her up, roots it all. And God said, no, don't do that. Then go down there with a good steel chainsaw, cut her off and leave the rods and bend those roots, my friend. Hallelujah to God. And let the dew of heaven keep on water. Oh, God, just show me something else. I'm glad while I was under that conviction that the good dew of heaven was on my soul. Hallelujah to God to raise me back up again and give me life in that more abundantly. Y'all get a hold of that now. Cut the pride down and water the praise. Would you say that night when you testified that God showed you that was it? That's what I thought you said.
Amen.
Well, I give her a chance. How many years ago when you made your first profession? A couple years ago?
Amen.
Well, I cut her down. Cut off her pride, but water that stump.
Amen.
2 years down the road, I'm going to do something. Now somebody said, now preacher, come on now. You getting bent over into some of that fatalistic. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the work of God. I'm talking about the long suffering and the patience of God. Huh? What about old Billy sitting there? I remember when I preached to him the first time, sitting back there with a big beard on his face, puffed up like a big toad frog. Like a tree planted by the waters that wouldn't be moved. But oh, there come a night when God spoke to the Holy One and told the Holy Ghost, said, go down there to where Billy is at and cut the pride down and leave the stump and pour a little water on it from heaven and try to kill the pride and raise up the praise. Is that right? Am I right or not? What about that night down at Brother Allen's when these two young men of mine got in by the grace of God?
Yep.
All that time, God been letting their grandpa water the stump. Hey, man. I got to hurry. 10 to 12. A warning. I want to say that warning was an act of grace. Listen what Daniel says to him in verse number 27. Wherefore, O king, let thy counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins. And thine iniquities. Break off your sins. Break off your iniquity. And how to do it? By righteousness. Praise God, break it off. I know anything at all about what he's saying. He said, Daniel said, oh God, God, oh King, God has been merciful to you. And he's going to chop off your tree of pride. But it's time to repent. It's time to get right with God. It's time to repent and get right with Almighty God. Now I want to show you something right here. And this is Hall theology. He said, Daniel said, break off thy sins and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of the tranquility. Daniel said, God, if you'll get right, this judgment will be stayed.
Amen.
And God can save you. Are you listening to me? God can save you without going through all that man went through. Sinners don't have to go through that if they'll just humble themselves when God speaks. And somebody said, now, preacher, what if I'm lost? And I'm not old Nebuchadnezzar. Wonder how much preaching some of you have heard. I wonder how many times the claim of Christ has been pressed upon your heart. I wonder how many times God let a little old Indiana transplant preach to you about the goodness of God.
Amen.
Now get this. It was a warning of grace. Break off thy sins. That is, he missed the mark first in his life. Somebody said, preacher, how was he that? I'm going to tell you how. I'm so glad you asked. You know, when Daniel purposed in his heart not defile himself. You know when Daniel answered the dream, interpreted the dream. You remember when the three Hebrew boys come out? Now, I don't really say this in chapter 1, but it does in chapter 2 and chapter number 3. You ought to go and read it. You know, after the deliverance of them three Hebrew boys and after the interpretation of that dream, you know what Nebuchadnezzar done? Oh, all people, lands, magnify the great God of heaven. How wonderful that God of heaven is. Daniel's God's a glorious God. He's a revealer of secrets. He is a powerful, wonderful God. There, but there, he didn't do a thing. And his first sin just turned into iniquities and he got entangled in it. I believe the old boy was trying to impress somebody. I believe he was trying to impress men and appease God. And God's not interested in your trying to appease him. Do I have to make it much plainer? Nebuchadnezzar's sin was that he learned to praise God with his lips, but his heart was far from him. And in his heart, he refused to bend and bow and humble himself to the will of God. What sin, what arrogance. I'm going to tell you, that is pride at its highest.
Amen.
When church members will sit on church pews. I want to thank God. I want to thank your God, Brother Hall. He's a great God. Thank Him for His delivering power. I want to just thank Him for saving grace. Hey, when did He save you? When did He deliver you
Amen.
From your sin? When did God bring you out of the furnace?
Amen.
When did God put something in your heart that you would defile to be, or that you would purpose to be defiled by this world that we're living in?
Amen.
It's one thing to run our mouths, it's another thing to live it.
Amen.
That was his sin.
Yes, sir.
22 years, Sister Hall. That man bragged about how good God was and didn't even know Him. Can you get a hold of this? He even took those men in His kingdom that knew God and tried to exalt them to a high position. I bet he said, I know I'll gain favor from God if I just talk about how good the man of God is. So I just brag on the preacher all the time. All I got to do is brag on him and tell him how good of a preacher he is. And if I can do that, God will forgive me of my secret pride. No, He won't, ladies and gentlemen. He will not forgive you of that secret pride until you repent and turn from it. He will not. His warnings, I'm trying to hurry, believe me. His wonderful conversion. Can you all still take a little more preaching, or you want me to? His one. I'm glad he got saved.
Amen.
I'm glad he got saved.
Amen.
I want to say I'm glad I got saved.
Amen.
I'm glad you got saved.
Amen.
I'm glad God broke in on our old sinful, rebellious, proud, arrogant spirit, heart, and saved us by His grace.
Amen.
I saw Miss Sandy over there smiling. I said, this better. That's my cue to say something good. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. Get this now. And at the end of the days of Nebuchadnezzar, at the end in verse number, 34. And at the end of the days, that is after 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Mine understanding returned unto me.
Amen.
And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever and ever,
Amen.
Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation.
Amen.
Hey, what did it say? He said, and I, Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of them days, I lifted up my eyes. I feel a drought spell coming on. He looked. He finally looked in the right place to the right person for what he needed. At the end end of those 7 years, I was like an ox. But he said at the end of those 7 years, once my understanding returned, I looked up.
Yeah.
I looked up.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you what he said in Numbers 22. Look and live.
Amen.
Look at the brazen serpent. Look and live. Look and live. Look and live. I'm telling you, 7 long years. I've heard some of you say, boy, I wouldn't want to go through the conviction I went through anymore. I just about took all I can take. You ain't eating no grass yet.
Amen.
I ain't seen nobody with fingernails in here like a eagle's claw.
Amen.
And feathers, hair like feathers hanging out.
Amen.
And 7 years crawling on all fours. Damn in your mind. But God's grace,
yes,
at the end of 7 years,
yes,
that dew from heaven penetrated 365 foot down.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And watered that old stump.
Yes.
And the stump took on some sap.
Yes.
And a little sucker sprouted out and said, look up!
Yes.
Your redemption draweth nigh, Nebuchadnezzar. And he looked up. He looked at the right place, Brother Doug, and the right person.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, hey, he looked up to the right person.
Amen.
And he left worldly reasoning.
Amen.
He said, my understanding returned unto me. Here's what I need to do to get saved. I know what God says, but, I had it my way. What else is that? You know what the Lord said? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I'm going to tell you, at the end of that 7 years, he lifted up his eyes and looked to the right place. He left off his own reasoning and he said, Lord, let me and you sit down and reason this thing out. You remember, Lord, when I was yonder in my palace, dressed in fine purple, and I had servants at my disposal and I had counselors around me in the luxuries of my home, and I let my old pride swell up in my life, and the grace of God, the convicting power of God has humbled me down. I've been here all these 7 years. And Lord, I believe your way is just a little bit better than mine.
Amen.
Brother Andy, don't you believe that a chair in the house of God is better than a stool in a bar?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Don't y'all believe that a laugh around the auditorium is better than a dance hall?
Amen.
I believe it is.
Amen.
Don't you believe that amazing grace that saved a wretch like me?
Amen.
Is better than... I don't even know. I'm glad I forgot. Shoe foot, slew foot, shoe foot, rag. Swing your partner to the shoe foot, rag. Jiggy little zig and ziggity zag. I'm going to tell you what. From pride to praise. You know what's wrong with our church? We've lost our praise. We ought to have been in here this morning, Brother George.
Yes.
Remembering. Hey, look here. And I come to this conclusion a long time ago. I don't think a man ought to remember. Don't remember any further back other than your wedding. You got married first, but don't go no further back than the cross.
Amen.
Don't start thinking on things.
Amen.
Your marriage, your children being born. Don't go back. Don't go back there and miss.
Amen.
Then I'm going to say he lowered his heart. He humbled him. He said, all the inhabitants of the earth
are reputed as nothing. What a warning.
Amen.
His witness is a warning. His wonderful conversion.
Amen.
But my text verse, he said, then I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor.
Amen.
His worship. That's why I said what I said a minute ago. When Nebuchadnezzar's old heart was broke and he lifted up and saw God and himself here and realized God's kingdom is from generation to generation and from dominion to dominion, and he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and Nebuchadnezzar, although with all of his wealth, possessions and power, nothing.
Amen.
And he saw that one that glorious would go to such great lengths to save him.
Amen.
He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all do know what praise means, don't you?
Amen.
Huh? If I wasn't afraid of falling down, I'd show you. My Parkinson sometimes. If it kicks in, I break a leg, get me to the hospital quick. You know what it is? It's twirling.
Amen.
And a praising God.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher! I ain't never done that. I have! I was dead! Dead, can you get a hold of it? You were dead, 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 dead. In your sin. And he gave you life outside of your sin. Out of it. He lifted you out of sin. You were dead. He came into that sin, gave you life, and brought you out of it. How's that song go? Somebody give me the tune. I will praise Him. How's that go? I'll sing it if y'all ain't got enough guts to. Praise God, I will. How does that song say, I will praise Him? This goes over. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Do-do-do. Oh, I wish I knew it. I want to praise Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Let the earth hear His voice! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Let the people sit and sulk and pout and whine and moan and groan! Nobody! Let the people rejoice! Hallelujah to God!
Amen! Amen!
Right. Amen. Amen! Worship with three things. Hey, he praised Him because mercy was given. He praised Him because of His manifold grace. And then He extolled Him. That is, He lifted Him up where He ought to be. And then He said, I'm going to honor Him. I am going to live for God.
Amen.
And I've got a feeling that when He said, I'm going to live for God. And you know, by the way, there's not anything else. This is the end of the story of Nebuchadnezzar. In the next chapter, Daniel tells what most people believe to be his grandson, Belshazzar. The Bible calls him Nebuchadnezzar his father, but most people say his grandfather. But it just tells about his pride. You hear no more about him. He's gone off the scene. Done for. But I'm glad he hung around long enough to get in. But I really believe, somewhere down the line, there might have been old Nebuchadnezzar. Come here, boy. Come here, Ryan. Boys, my name ain't Joseph. My name's Nebuchadnezzar, and I want to tell you, boy, something.
Amen.
There's four men in this kingdom. One of them named Daniel. The other one's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you ain't going to believe it. I tried my best to persuade them boys to worship my God. They just wouldn't do it.
Amen.
And I had a dream one time. Nobody knew that dream but me. And old Daniel come in there and told me exactly everything that I dreamed. And said, then there came a time, boys, when I got real proud. And I thought that I was something. And that same God put me out yonder in the field like a beast. Owen says, I don't want to forget this story. You boys probably won't believe this because you didn't see it. It said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in a furnace burning, a fiery furnace. And they didn't have no hurt. Not a bit. He said, I looked, and there were four of them in there. And one of them was the Son of God. And I want to tell you boy, something. Hey, you listen to me, boy. What God done for Grandpa.
Amen.
What God done for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He done the same thing for Grandpa.
Amen.
And what He done for Grandpa, He'll do for you, boy. He'll do for you, boy.
Amen.
He's the great God. Full of mercy and truth.
Amen.
He's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish at all.
Amen.
I know I'm old and gray-headed, and I'm getting ready to go by the way of the grave. But if you boys will find that same God,
amen,
He'll do for you what He's done for Grandpa. It's wonderful.
Amen.
I believe He passed those stories right down the line to His children. Have you ever sat your kids down and told them how you got saved?
Amen.
Our time's come and gone. Let's stand.